All right, here we go. It's been a very long time since Dr. Paglini's been on the air. But as I said earlier in the show, if you're just joining, nobody, not all the psychics, not all the predictors and the remote viewers and the what have you who have made predictions on this program, have ever had a record that's within miles of Evelyn Paglini's, period. And she's not really a prediction person. It just sort of began to happen on the program, and she hit so many that it began to, send a little tingle down my spine. I mean, big things. We'll sort of review with her some of the things. Parapsychologist Dr. Evelyn Paglini is one of the leading authorities on the occult and the supernatural in the United States, and when she's on this show, the world, I guess. Evelyn began learning natural magic from her grandfather at the age of four, and is now a psychic, metaphysical teacher, lecturer, consultant. She has set precedent in the Texas court system on a child abuse case with ritual overtones, worked with law enforcement on missing persons and murder cases involving the occult and the supernatural. She is a spiritual warrior. It's a very interesting phrase, isn't it? Spiritual warrior. Coming up in a moment, Dr. Evelyn Paglini. Dr. Evelyn Paglini, welcome back to Coast AM.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be with you and your audience.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you big time, and it has been so long, but what sticks in my mind, Evelyn, is the remarkable, incredible record you've had of predictions. And I wonder if you can recall for the audience some you made. I mean, these were all on air, so there's no fudging any of it. I mean, they were all recorded well before they occurred here on the air, so it's not like, some psychics, they'll tell you this, oh, I predicted this and I predicted that. But boy, when it's on the air, that's that.
Well, I remember a couple right off the bat. I would have to say the hurricane season of 2005, which was Katrina and Rita,
Oh, yes.
and that was something I couldn't get out of my mind. I knew it was going to be an extremely difficult, devastating hurricane season, and we certainly had
But
one
you went
after
well
another.
beyond
They were
just
like
predicting
lined up.
hurricanes.
Pardon
Yeah,
me?
you went well beyond that. You said massive numbers of people will be evacuated, and so forth and so on. It was really
Yeah, I
nailing
just
it.
saw thousands of people being evacuated. I saw tens of billions of dollars worth of damage, and I just couldn't believe it. It was like one after another after another.
That's right.
And then I know also the Virginia Tech massacre, that 32 people that were killed by that crazed person. And certainly the fires that have been going on, and then oh God, I just there's just
Oh,
so
the
much.
economy, you
The
remember the
economy. I
economy?
did about 2006. I remember the telling people about the stock market
Right.
going down to 700. They didn't want to believe me, and I told them to stop using their homes as an ATM machine. And I said that there was going to be massive foreclosures.
That's right. That's right.
And
It was one after another after, and there were more. I mean, it was just, and so I guess I'd like to ask you, how do these things come to you? In what form?
well, sometimes it depends. It will happen in a vision. There may be images that will cross what I call the screen of my mind. Other times it happens when I'm doing ritual at night and I'm calling upon the elements. In other cases, I will get information because I'm doing so many clients around the world and I'm looking into their future. And I try to go a year or 2 years, so I see a trend that happens with so many people having so many problems in so many particular arenas or areas.
Okay. So sometimes the screen of your mind, meaning almost like a TV screen, you see these things
Images,
appearing.
they come in nanoseconds, and sometimes they will come with sound, And other times they will come with sound and a lot of emotion, especially when I'm seeing something that's very devastating, like a Katrina or a Rita or earthquakes. Just like when I get into weather, that's when I start to see and feel the emotion, the fear, the anxiety, then the depression. I mean, all of it, it's all there.
I read a story a little bit earlier that my wife wanted me to ask you about, because she's a little concerned about it. She's seen the movie, as of 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's, what is it, December 21st, I think, 2012. You know, and I thought, good movie, great special effects. It'll never happen. And here I have this... this story tonight from a scientist in India who's saying it just may well occur. It's the end, of course, of the Mayan calendar. And I always just thought, the Mayans got sick of making calendars and just stopped. And I think I still somewhat embrace that, but this story worries me. Any insights at all about December 21, 2012?
I have called the cleansing of Earth for the last couple of years. I said we were in a countdown, and I said that there was going to be an escalation of devastation and catastrophic events that were going to occur. This is all happening, will continue to happen, and yes, 2012 has a lot to do with it. It's the purification of Earth. With this, there is also going to be what I will call a vibrational change. And so, therefore, we will have our consciousness raised and lifted. You will notice in the next couple of years, more and more people will be coming forward because their sensitivity, psychic abilities will be being turned on. Children will be coming with extraordinary abilities. And that's all part of the process of what is going on as far as the 2012, the cleansing of Earth, this devastation, this catastrophic cycles that we are in.
Well, that's a consciousness raising for those who are left, and that's what's concerning me. There's going to be some sort, when you say cleansing of Earth, that could mean a lot. I mean, that could mean millions of people, or billions of people even, not here anymore. Great for the consciousness of those remaining on Earth.
I'm not getting billions. I'm not getting that.
Good.
Okay, I feel that there is going to be several areas of the planet that will cause much pain and crying and fear because of the loss of life that will be in maybe the tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands.
And do you, you say some portions of the Earth. Do you have any specific areas that you're concerned about?
Well,
he asks as he closes his eyes and grits his teeth.
Well, I'll tell you, when I get more into the weather, I was looking at an awful lot of flooding and an awful lot of, again, earthquakes. It seems, and I called in the beginning of the year on a show called The Joe Who Show, I called it the year of the earthquake. And when I was on the show with Coast to Coast, I had mentioned that I had felt an awful lot of crying and an awful lot of desperation and fear from earthquakes. And when Haiti hit and then Chile, it was like, this is just the beginning. And so I'm feeling that there's going to be more earthquakes, and they are going to take devastating tolls. And I'm also feeling a lot of flooding. It seems like the elements are in full force, Art, and they don't want to quit. And so you're going to have flooding, especially what I'm worried about is the East Coast. I keep seeing the East Coast being flooded dramatically, the coastal towns being flooded. I see superstorms with high winds that want to come in, and they seem to come up from Florida and then just track way up the East Coast. Now, I already called that there was going to be flooding in the Midwest, and you see what's happening in Wisconsin and in Ohio.
Oh, yes.
That's just the beginning. There's more. And that I already called in the beginning of the year. Well, I see more of the Midwest flooding. I see more of the upper Midwest flooding beside the East Coast. I also see it down toward Texas.
And so I guess that would come with big storms, all right.
Yes. I'm getting superstorms. In fact, it reminded me of your coming global superstorm book.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not only getting the rain and the flooding, but the wind. This roaring, roaring wind. I mean, it's got to be high mileage to have this kind of roar that I'm hearing.
Well, when cold air meets warm air, which occurs in the U.S. Midwest frequently, that's what you get, are gigantic, monstrous, that's what creates these monstrous storms.
And you know what, that, you think that that is not bad enough. And then you take a look at the fires, and they continue. Not only now in California am I worried about October and November especially, but I feel that there is going to be fires that are going to be started deliberately. I've said this once before, and I was right.
You sure were. That was another one I forgot
to. That was right, and five firemen died.
That's right. You said that it would be.
I'm saying it again, and I've got it in more than one state. It is planned. It is deliberate. They are taking advantage of a dry season and the heat wave, which I also called and has continued. They are going to take advantage of it, and there's going to be fires in several states that are arson. And that's part of what I was getting, like a homegrown terrorism.
Right. Evelyn, that leads to another question, and it's a social question more than anything else, but what's happening in the United States to the people? I know economic times are rough in the U.S. right now, but God, what's happening to the people, Evelyn? There was a time when conditions got dry, and people didn't automatically go out and begin to set fires intentionally, and now they do. There's been some sort of massive social change in the country, and I could go on and on about it. It's not just fires, but we'll take that as an example right now. What's happened to people? There's some sort of profound change.
Well, I want to call it evil on the rise. I want to call it negativity seeping in and taking hold and bending people who may be out of desperation, may be out of fear or anxiety, losing their job, losing their homes. Maybe that's the cause. But I'm also picking up that it's almost like a plan of an organization that wants homegrown people to turn on each other and to turn on their country.
Well, that's happening. It's happening, and I don't...
And it's like they're being brainwashed.
Yeah,
maybe because
I don't
I'm
understand.
Into the paranormal, but that's where my mind keeps going. I says they're being sent like signals. They're being manipulated. They're being mind controlled in some way to think like this, to be exposed to it. It's almost like they're looking for their vulnerability and they found them.
It's a mystery to me, Evelyn, what's going on with people in the U.S. It's an honest-to-God mystery. You're a spiritual warrior. What does that mean?
I fight evil on all fronts. I level the playing field. I teach people how to use magic so that they can not only better their lives, but that they can protect themselves against psychic attack and curses, spells, Texas.
Can you go after evil on the kind of scale we were just talking about?
Yes,
I understand you can do individual things, and you certainly have. But on the kind of scale we're talking about here, an entire country that's beginning to go, I don't know what it's doing, but it's strange. I mean, that's a kind of evil. Can you go after a massive amount of evil like that?
one person can make a difference, but when you pull the consciousness and you know the power of the mind collectively, when you focus that attention on it, yes, you can fight evil. That's why the more people out there who get into magic, who get into the discipline and the power of the mind, will be able to, again, not only help themselves, but help mankind.
Well, there are things going on in the United States, and I guess to some degree the rest of the world too, that just absolutely confuse me. Crimes that are so evil is the only word for them. I mean, the torture of young people, the molestation of young people, the all these crimes that are what I used to call head shakers that you just don't understand. It's just.
Well, you see, the Vatican has been having scandal after scandal, and there's more to come out. You see that you have got ministers falling from the pulpit because of sexual liaisons, and that's going to continue. There's going to be more scandal in churches in the Vatican.
You had some connection with Father Malachi Martin back when I was having him on the air, you recall?
Yes, I do.
He told me again and again and again that evil is spreading and getting bigger in the world and the U.S. specifically. And I guess that's going on unabated, huh?
Yes, it is. It has increased tenfold. And it's not only within the church, which he tried to explain and expose, but it also is just out there. You are meeting people. And when you look into their eyes, you can see they are soulless. There's an emptiness there. Right. They're dead inside.
Right. That's exactly what Father Malachi Martin said. He actually said you can walk down the street, you can look into somebody's eyes, and you can see they're dead. You can see that they've made a perfect deal with the devil.
And they are soulless. In fact, you once had a person, a woman, call on air who had offered her child to Satan.
That's right.
And so that still goes out there, the breeding of infants just for that reason is still going on out there. There are those out there who seek
nothing
power.
Scares me like that, Evelyn. Nothing. I know the program you're talking about, and you know that one. I mean, to my dying day, I will remember as probably one of the scariest programs I've ever done in my whole life. She was not, she wasn't with the rest of us. This woman really was evil. She really was evil. And she had given her child to the devil. That's right. Just an incredible program. All right, we've got to take a break here, Evelyn. So much to do tonight. A spiritual warrior named Dr. Evelyn Paglini is my guest. Aside from the predictions, we'll talk a lot about what witchcraft is and what it is not. From the other side of the world, I'm Art Bell. That would be me. Now, coming up in a moment, I'm going to ask Dr. Paglini about the economy. I really want to know about the economy. I hear the economists in the U.S. have declared the recession over. Obviously, they don't get down to the street very frequently because, according to my friends, the people I talk to, it's anything but over with this many people out of work. And I know, you know, the economists suggest that the job market in any recovery is the last thing to return. But most economists now are predicting the job situation is going to get even worse, double digits. It's actually already in double digits. You know, according to their figures, we're near 10% unemployment, just barely under 10%, and it will hit double figures again. Now, yes, the stock market has recovered substantially, but, you know, the stock market is the market, and it's... I don't know what to say about it, and I don't know whether I believe in this market recovery anyway. If you look back to the Great Depression, you'll find there was exactly this the kind of period we're having right now where everybody is talking about the market recovering. And then, of course, she went the second time. And the second time she went, it turned out to be the Great Depression. Now, people express concern about the possibility of a double dip. That's sort of a mild phrase, doesn't sound too bad, double dip, right? But when they had the double dip in the Great Depression, that's exactly what it became, was the Great Depression. So I want to ask about the economy. It's important to everybody. It's worrisome. And I'm telling you, as I talk to my friends, there are stores closing en masse. There are houses empty. The rate at which banks are taking them back has never been seen before, or at least in my lifetime, never. So they may consider it over. I don't, and I'm sure many of you don't, and we'll find out what Evelyn thinks in a moment. Well, all right, Evelyn, with regard to the economy, continuing to improve, if that's what's happening right now, or a double dip, or a depression ahead. How do you see the economy?
I had said that there was 1,000 days before the economic engine would really start to take off. And right now we're still on target. I don't feel that there's going to be any lifting as far as Main Street is concerned until the late spring of 2012.
Wow.
That's when some confidence will begin to return. You have 7 million people unemployed. It's going to take years to get that many people back to work. And you have over 6 million and counting foreclosures, homes that are empty. It will take 2 to 3 years just to get those off the books.
But do we have enough hamburger joints to employ that many people?
No, we don't.
I hate to be that flip, but, you know,
see, the glut is
in the old days, Evelyn, when we had, you know, economic boom times, and then, I mean, there's a business cycle, you know, up and down and up and down. I understand that. But in the old days, when we'd be down, a president would come on TV and say, well, the basic American economy is sound. I can't say that anymore. It's not sound. We don't have industry to be employing these people anymore. So
that's right. The jobs are not coming back.
So
we have to reinvent. We have to diversify. You're going to see so many people that will be starting home businesses out of their kitchen, their basement, and their garage. They will be reinventing themselves because they have to. These jobs are not coming back.
No, I don't think they are. But you're saying that people will be able to do that. They'll reinvent themselves.
Yes, they will. And I feel that there are opportunities out there. I just don't want to stay on the down. I want to see that there are opportunities out there for people. And if they tap into their sixth sense, if they tap into their psychic abilities, they're going to get some insight and some answers. You know, cash is still king. And so let's just talk about housing. There are more people out there that need to rent now than ever because they have lost homes. And so there is an investment opportunity, and cash is king.
Oh, yes.
You can get out there and buy pennies on the dollar, and you can have investment and cash flow from rental properties.
Yes, and all that cash is sitting on the sidelines right now, still scared. That's why it hasn't begun to happen. You would think people would be jumping on these incredibly inexpensive homes to buy, but...
But the loans aren't coming through from the bank, but creative financing is now taking hold.
There is that. But even the people with the cash are afraid to make the move because they're not sure it's the bottom yet. So you're saying 2012...
Another year and a half, they have excellent opportunities at a buyer's market. Excellent opportunities for the next couple of years.
If you had a lot of money, cash sitting on the sidelines, would you begin to buy homes now?
Yes, I would. Very slowly, and I would make an extremely good deals. Yes, there are excellent opportunities out there, not just in home real estate, but in commercial.
Mm-hmm. Yes. No, it's true. I know. It's true. So it's going to get better. In your opinion, the economy anyway.
Spring. of 2012. Between now and then, you've got to tighten your belt. You've got to hold on. They're not going to call this a double dip recession because, according to the official statement, the recession ended June of 2009. And so they will have to call this maybe another recession. But I feel that we've got another punch coming. That's why I'm saying not until late spring of 2012 will there be breathing room where Main Street starts to feel confident again. But between now and then, you're going to have to tighten your belt. And also, there will be, though, opportunities in construction and in health care, because I feel that, well, one, I'm very afraid of this flu season. Okay, I'm getting a very bad feeling about this flu season. I feel that there will be more deaths than normal. I know we get about 30 to 36,000. But there's something wrong with this flu season. This one is deadly.
Oh, boy.
And so,
well,
besides
I went out. Our flu season here is opposite of the U.S. We've already been through it. And I did, we all did here in the house, go out and get flu shots. How do you feel about the flu shots?
I don't. I'm very hesitant. I don't like what I'm picking up. I feel that everybody should make their own decision, but not me. I won't get one.
You won't get one?
No. Even though I feel this is a very bad flu season, next one even worse. But I'm worried about this one. There's something that's bothering me. It hasn't come in quite clear enough. That in construction, and construction was because of all of the devastation that had all the bridges and roads and dams and homes that have to be rebuilt.
That's right.
And so I felt that there was a big input as far as that was concerned. All your commodities will do well. I had been touting since I've been on since 98, gold and silver and palladium. Thank you. Thank you. I've made a lot of people money. People listened. And now look at gold. It's pushing 1,300.
I know.
And I feel that it will definitely keep going up. And that's not because of just the economy, but because of fear. And do you know that there is a movement out there that even wants to get our currency to be not only devalued, but not to be the currency of the world?
I know.
And that bothers me, too. It's like, again, this underhandedness going on.
Well, we have borrowed so much to stimulate I don't know how we're going to pay it back. I have no idea. And that's going to affect the dollar. You're absolutely right. Can you feel where the dollar is headed?
I feel that we are in trouble with the dollar. That's why there's this mass exit. I feel that there will be something that will come in to try to prop it up and stabilize it, but for how long, I don't know. That's why I still like the commodities. I still like gold and silver and palladium, because I still feel that I feel that silver is so undervalued. That's the poor man's gold. It always has been.
Mm-hmm.
And so very definitely I would tell people to put more than 10 or 15%.
Well, when you're in another country, as I am, Evelyn, you watch the exchange rates, you know, between local currency and the U.S. dollar, and we can see it changing, and it's scary. It really is scary. And there are countries now talking about, instead of using the dollar, coming up with a basket of currencies for safety, you know, the Chinese currency and some others, instead of the dollar. And even though it has not massively occurred yet, there are moves in that direction.
I agree. And that's what I'm picking up. And beside that, you have what I'm going to say. I want to call China a problem, not just with the trade, not just with the currency, but with something that is very secretive and sinister that is being plotted. And so I'm going to say, with all of the wars that are going on, Afghanistan and Iraq, the things I would worry about, the places I would worry about, China, Iran, and then Mexico. I call Mexico the war next door.
So does NBC. The war next door is the truth. And if you look at what's going on in Mexico right now, God, it's scary. It's the drug cartels, but man,
you're
the border towns.
Death, so much death. You're going to have so much fighting, so many out-and-out AK fights, wars, machine guns, the whole nine yards on the borders. I mean, you're going to think you're watching a movie.
Well, one big question is it going to come across the border?
Yes. That's why I'm saying the war next door is escalating, and somebody better pay attention, or we're going to lose citizens. And as far as Iran is concerned, I kept on seeing Iran as a serpent swallowing up something. And my feeling was is that it's being cagey and laying in the weeds, like as if it's going to pounce and swallow. It's like it's going after another country.
You mean as in Iraq, for example?
Iran is, yes.
We have taken our combat troops out of Iraq. We still certainly have troops that can fight there, and we're depending on the local force to hold things together, but...
Well, then maybe that's the serpent swallowing. That's what I got. I got Mexico, Iran, and then China. And these were the things that we had to watch that were going to increase, escalate, and cost lives.
Well, China would be capable of producing economic Armageddon because they hold so much, you know, U.S., so many bonds, so many everything, that if they were to call it or suddenly dump all their dollars, it would produce a sort of an economic Armageddon. Are you concerned about that?
I'm concerned about this here triangle, which is what I kept saying, the trade, the currency, and this other sinister aspect, this something that's going on underneath this third way of, the way I want to call it is, I don't want to say it wrong. It's almost like when somebody wanted to poison you slowly. Okay? That's the best way I can feel it.
I understand.
They're using all three.
So you think they're working together intentionally or just...
Oh, yeah. No, this is intentional.
All intentional.
Yeah, that's why I said if we want to talk about war, this is where the war is really going to be, and those are going to be the wars, Mexico, Iran, and then China. And China's the biggest one, the longest one. Because it's more manipulative. The other two will be almost, you know, be able to see it. This one is very insidious.
And you still maintain this kind of evil can be combated.
Yes, always has been, always will be.
Have you gone to work on it? I mean, are you actually working on some of this, trying to change what otherwise may be?
Yes, I have been, and have been for the last 3 years. I have others out there doing the same. There are so many people out there that are into magic. They see what's happening, and they are using it. And they're using it in order to combat evil.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about magic for a moment. A lot of listeners are quite Christian, of course, and when they hear witch and magic and that sort of thing, they go, oh, come on. So a simple question, but is magic real?
Well, magic has always been. It's on in every culture, across every continent, throughout the ages. And yes, it's real. And every person has the ability to tap into nature and the elements and to use its vibration and its forces to influence, to manipulate, and sometimes to change or to bring into the physical plane of existence a desired goal.
What is the source of magic, Evelyn? I mean, is it...
God.
It's God?
Yeah. God is the one that has provided us with nature and the elements. And it's
so it's nature through God. God's at the one end, but it's nature, because I know that in witchcraft you call on...
I call on the elements, like earth, air, wind, and fire.
Mm-hmm.
And I will call on the vibrations and the forces of natural plants and essential oils. Things, I will use the psychology of color. I will
color,
take a call
color has power.
Color has a vibration.
Huh.
Everything has a vibration.
I know, for example, you use different colored candles, right?
Yes. You will use a specific color in order to get a result. And so, like, say you wanted to draw or attract love or stimulate strength and energy, you'd use the color of red. And if you wanted to increase passion, you would use the color of red. If you wanted to remove a negativity, you would use black. If you wanted to, let's say, put a shield of protection around you, you would use the color of white. If you wanted prosperity and growth, then you'd use the color of green. They use it in packaging, okay, in products. They realize the vibration of color. And when you put it around your home, when you're using it in candle burning or in ritual, then mm-hmm. each color has a vibration of either of attraction or repelling or protection.
What do you say to people who say, look, I'm a Christian, this is nonsense. You know, if you want change, pray to God. Don't light candles.
Well, you are, and God has also provided all of nature, the herbs and the essential oils that you use for protection or for attraction are given to us by whom?
Mm-hmm.
And so why can we not tap into the repellent or the attraction of it and use it for ourselves, for our homes?
Let's take love as an example. I've seen a number of movies about witchcraft where, you know, a spell is used to cause somebody to fall in love with somebody else, and it always seems to go wrong. In other words, they almost become a stalker of that person. They get so hooked on that person, they think they're so in love with that person that they can't stop. And we're on a break. I don't watch the clock, Evelyn. When I get involved in something like this, it gets so wild. So we'll ask about this when we get back. But everybody's seen the movies where, you know, love potion number 9 or whatever is used. And then I suppose abused. Be right back.